I didn't say that on fucking... God damn it, Kendrick!
You're recording now, though.
I know. Hey, this is Sit Sock, everyone.
Sit Sock!
Sit Sock!
It's got a more improvisational tone.
Yeah, you know. Like in TV from our universe.
Yeah.
That's our new catchline.
TV from our universe.
No. Oh, well,
improvisational tone?
Yeah.
You gotta be able to say improvisational tone.
Improvisational.
Nope.
Impro.
Nope. Improv a cocksmooth. Damn it.
Cox.
This is Sit Sock, everybody. Spitting in a stream of consciousness.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Kendrick. Do you realize that we don't actually say the name? We call it Sit Sock. But we don't really ever call it spitting in the stream of consciousness.
What is
anymore.
That?
Sit Sock is a sock that you do
when you sit you're on. Saying that spitting in the stream of consciousness is the unacronymed version of Sit Sock.
The acronym.
It's the...
You use the French.
Escaped version? Or the unescaped version?
Look at you go! You're learning to be a computer nerd!
I'm at the point where I can say enough to confuse people who don't know computer science, but that I look dumb to people who know computer science.
Yes, we call that Script Kitty Valley.
Okay.
Which is to say, I call it that, which is to say I just made that up. Script Kitty is actually a term. It's kind of gone out of fashion, I think. It referred to hackers, which is the hacksaws. Or as we call them, crackers in the industry.
And not like C-R-A-C-K-E-R.
No, actually it's the same. It's just not white people.
Yeah, we're not talking about... No.
Honkies.
Honkies. Not honkies.
Honky. But because those are the people who... They don't understand how to compromise systems or psychological manipulation or, the human elements of it. They just found a script someone made online that compromises the system. They found something, somehow found a vulnerability, and they found a script that either finds vulnerabilities or exploits them, gives them root access, and then they, run Call of Duty servers or some fucking shit on it. I don't know what Script Kitty's goals in life are, but they're usually the bottom of the barrel, followed immediately up there by web developers. Take that, you web developers.
Wait. So, I don't hack. I'm not a hacker.
Okay, so this might be an excellent opportunity to have a completely pointless conversation nobody actually cares about, but I'm going to say
that's
because you're not saying anything.
I'm trying to text someone you made me leave and not say goodbye to.
I don't care. Tell her that.
Okay.
One of the things that is a bone of contention, because we're too stubborn to change our terminology and the rest of the world made up stupid terms, is that the word hacker, quote-unquote, and the term hack, as in to hack, both got subverted by, for lack of a better term, the media in the mid-90s, early 90s, I guess possibly even earlier, to be honest. Back when the terms like freaking were a thing, and no one knows what the hell that means
What is
anymore.
That?
Yeah, right? It's spelled with a PH.
I'm exemplary.
Yeah.
Because I'm an example of all the things that you say, basically.
So,
you're not a
PH. Freaking.
Oh, freaking.
You're not really a freaker.
What does it mean, though?
Freaking. Okay, so let's go through this chronologically. Historically and originally, the term hacking, and a hacker who was the one who performed the hacking, was people who would create simple and effective pieces of code to achieve moderate goals, weren't necessarily enterprise grade or seriously tested or anything. They were small hacks.
So that's basically what Amy and I do.
Yes, in that sense, you're kind of hackers.
Okay.
The kind of stuff that I do is definitely
not
hacking.
Is it?
Yeah, a lot of it's hacking.
Okay.
It's, they call it a hack when you do something that is shoddy. Effective, but not good.
I see.
Like, it's that, it's hack and a kludge are almost the same
so
thing.
So URL hacking is actually a very valid term.
Yes.
Because you're literally
in specific of Salesforce parlance, which our listener may not understand. But in that particular context, that means something very specific. And it's that you are using a hack, which is a virtue of the framework that's being used with the web thing to populate fields, blah, blah,
or
blah.
Or someone who's performing who is not really as good as they said that they were.
That is a hack. That is a different thing.
Okay, sorry, I'm confused.
Yeah. No, you're not. You're just an asshole.
Oh. I'm a confused asshole?
That's also true.
So, fracking.
The person who is a hacker is the person who creates and spreads around these hacks. These people are often not the best person to work with because they create shoddy code, which works, but not necessarily due to any grand plan, schemes, or anything. Just mostly that, well, it works when I use it.
Those are very common words in our industry. Because, oh man.
The opposite of hacking is a well-architected and well-engineered piece of software that was tested thoroughly, conforms to its test specs, and performs adequately under all loads and scales. That's like the opposite of a hack.
Yes, because it's like
been tested. It also probably takes several, if not at least one order of magnitude, I would say at least one order of magnitude more time and energy to develop. That's sort of the principle, right?
Yeah.
So, hackers are also tend to be very clever, ingenious, and resourceful individuals.
That's so nice of you to say about me.
Because we're the kind of guys that are like, I gotta figure out this thing to get it to work, and when I do this, that works. Why? I don't know, but it does. Like, that's kind of the attitude of, maybe you do understand, maybe you don't, but what matters is it works. That's the whole point. The whole point of a hack is a hack works, right up until it doesn't. And that's sort of, the fundamental principle of a hack. It's a subtle thing, because a very elegant hack can sometimes be considered, it can kind of transcend hackdom and become something more than that, something considered elegant, even though it might still be a hack.
Okay.
There's a great example of this in that there's a long story, but I'm just going to abbreviate it. Essentially, a person wrote a piece of software for an antiquated piece of technology that was a big rotating drum system for memory instead of the spinning disks.
Oh, it
was a
drum. I love this story.
It was on the inside or outside that it read from, and the drum spun in one direction, and it spun relatively fast, but not as fast as hard drive platters today. And so it took a moment to get the whole way around the drum. And when someone was attempting to decipher some code that this fellow had written that was waiting, I think it was waiting for some kind of input-output thing, so like it was waiting for a screen to redraw or something, but there was no method for saying, hey, let me know when the screen's done redrawing, like we have nowadays. But they needed to wait so that you didn't get a partial render or something like that. Whatever it was, he needed a pause. Well, there was a pause, but he didn't need that much of a pause. He needed a little bit of a pause. And they found this out because they were going through the lines, and it was a sequential functional operating system, or some functional language with go-tos and sequential lines. So there weren't function calls, there were go-tos. Well, there might have been function calls, but there were go-tos.
Okay.
And then so it goes down, you know, there's line 10, 11, 12, 13. And on line 13, it says go to 12. And on line 13, it goes to line 11. And then on line 11, it goes to line 12. And on line 12, it goes to line 14. And you're like, what the hell was that? We just did a little circle, right? Like, and then we ended up right after where we started. It's not a loop. It wasn't doing anything. It was just running in a little circle. What the hell? Why would you do this? And then that's when they realized that because of the amount of time it takes for this drum to go the whole way around, and the only thing that the magnetic reader can do is wait, it locked the system, basically. It caused an interrupt as it was waiting to read that spot in memory, so the system couldn't do anything. Until the drum came all the way around again, because it had to go back. There was no way to go back. You had to wait for the drum to come around. And then you hit your instruction, like, oh, okay. And you went forward, and then you went to the next one. So what happened was, because the drum only rotated at a rate of however many times a second, one, you know, percentage of that was how much he needed. So
to wait for whatever load.
And that's how he did it. So that's one of those things where then you try to translate that to another language, and it doesn't work anymore.
You're like, because it's, or somebody looks at it, and they're like, what the fuck is this?
That's a hack. But it's a very elegant hack.
He put his finger in the air for everybody at home. He put, aha!
Uh-huh.
All right, so what is a fracker?
Now, a freaker, which is actually, they were called freaks, and what they did was freaking. If I remember correctly, this is, my memory gets a bit off. Freaking was when you would, specifically and originally, it was when people would, if you, anyone of our young whippersnapper listeners at home, remember these things called payphones.
A payphone?
A payphone that was a thing you put money into, and it allowed you to call people as long as you were tied to it.
Why are you talking to our audience like it's not just us?
Because
you do not know what a payphone is.
I know. So a payphone, back in the day, the way payphones worked is when you'd put the money in, it would emit a tone, and the tone would work its way back. It would go back to if I remember correctly. None of the logic was contained in the end unit itself. The pay mechanism and the timers were in the central system. So you put a coin in, and then your phone would make a tone sound like it to indicate that money had been
inserted,
and then it would send that back, and then it would start your timer with the phone company. And then when you run out, you had to put another money in. Well, someone figured that out, and this is the dawn of freaking, especially long distance. You would get a recording of that tone, and simply play it into the mouthpiece. And no one thought to stop you from doing that in any clever way, so you could get free phone calls. That was the origin of freaking.
Huh. That's kind of cool.
So yeah, people figured out how not to pay for, especially long distance phone calls.
Dude, that would be a freaker.
Well, obviously that stuff didn't stick around, and before long it became used for more malicious things. Well, that's what led to modern day, quote unquote, hacking.
Oh. This story is actually very well thought through. Good job.
Yeah, that's I've done it before. there was a movie, Hackers, that definitely muddied the waters there, and lots of other pop culture references. I couldn't tell you exactly when it switched. I don't remember if I ever knew, but at one point, people started to mix up, because those are the kinds of people that were hackers, right? They call them makers now, really, makers. Is what those are. People who make stuff.
Okay.
It's basically the same kind of principle as a hacker then. And that
this
was
is
the kind
all
of people,
terminology within the... Within programming, the like, world.
Well, okay. makers are a pop culture thing now, but hackers back in the day were the kind of people who would figure that out. Like, can we be like, oh, I wonder how they would send the message from the phone to the phone company. I bet you it's a signal. I bet you I could look it up. I bet you it's a standard. I bet you I could call some people. Oh, look, it's this particular pitch for this duration of time. Oh, look, I can program a synthesizer to emit that tone. Oh, okay. Look, and then that's all it is. And so it wasn't violent or malicious in its intent. It was the proof of concept thing. It was like, I bet you I could do this. And then they did. Mm-hmm. And then eventually someone said, I bet you I could get through this security system.
And they did.
And then they did. And someone said, I bet you I could access these people's bank accounts. And then they did. And so much of the computer science attitude early on was so naive and childlike in a lot of it, because there's a bunch of nerds dicking around. Mm-hmm. They didn't think about the dangers of what they could be doing. And that's what led to the interesting part of the early 90s, where people were like sneaking into the networks of the early networks of like military bases, and then everyone just flipping their shit because
understood. You had a combination of like the... Well, because I guess you kind of had like a combination of people who wanted to be, maybe this isn't true, makers, and people who wanted to be like political activists, kind of.
Political activists found them eventually and wanted to use them as an avenue for that. And that's where the term for attempting to gain access to a secure system via, not necessarily nefarious, but, you know, devious methodology was termed cracking.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're cracking their security.
Yeah.
And that will be where you happen to know that if you send a signal on port whatever on this particular version of unpatched software, it causes a buffer overrun, which makes the thing forget it has security, and it just listens to whatever. Or this thing causes this watchdog process to die, and then it's not properly handling, you know, something like that. Or so if you do this thing, like it causes it to default.
People
to
looking for, defaults. Like, glitches or cheat codes in video games.
It's exactly the same people with the same
mentality. Fucking... bang a hammer against the wall until they find out where the weakest part
and you
got
to know is. Where in the wall to hit and what kind of hammer to use and that sort of stuff, but that's practically what it is. Programming is understanding exactly where in the hammer to hit once.
Okay.
But that's the attitude, and it's not to say these people are stupid or somehow
not at all.
It's that it's a dogged determination coupled with an intense technical knowledge that helps you understand, like those people who figured out a way to feed the Twitch chat log thing into Pokemon.
I don't know that I heard about that.
Let's continue.
That can't listen to my yawn speak.
You can understand your own Kyle Sprecken yawn variant, so I'm sure no one else.
Look at Pipes and Tobacco Store.
Yep. So that little story was another fun one. I guess we'll just be talking about technology today.
Yeah.
On Zetslock with Kendrick and Kyle. Fuck Joe. Who's in the...
He's lying. He's going down to the Dominican Republic.
Ostensibly.
Well, what is only ostensible about that?
I don't believe him.
Oh, you don't believe him?
I don't believe anything Joe says.
Really?
No.
You really don't?
No, I think he's at the Dominican Republic.
Oh, okay. That was really weird.
I don't know.
All right,
I was trying to go somewhere with that. It didn't go.
Pokemon story.
Okay, so... This is weird, but let me tell you, I think the best way to think about it so that you can stick with the story, because it's kind of long and convoluted, but the best way to think about it...
I know,
but to give you the premise at the end is, someone found a way to get a Game Boy, technically a Game Boy, a Super Game Boy, the Game Boy and Super Nintendo adapter thing, but technically it was the Pokemon cartridge running on it, to play Netflix. I think it was actually the end goal on one of these things.
They used the Pokemon cartridge to play Netflix.
Yes.
Is what I heard.
Yes.
Is that what happened?
That's the end goal. So, join me on this following story to determine how exactly they did that. Are you ready?
I believe it involved macaroni and cheese at some point.
You're probably not wrong, but not in this story.
Okay.
So, what they did was they got the Pokemon. It's very convoluted to tell you the truth.
Do it.
The Pokemon game cartridge was loaded into a Super Nintendo, Super Game Boy Nintendo cartridge, right? Which was loaded into a real Super Nintendo, which was then wired via its controller plug to a computer.
Okay.
So the computer now was sending signals as if it were a controller.
Okay.
You ready? Okay. Now.
You got that, what? Everybody? Pokemon cartridge in a Super Nintendo Game Boy thing. Super Game Boy?
Yeah.
In a Super NES.
Yep.
Which was attached to a computer via the controller.
And now, it was not connected via a debug plug-in or anything like that.
Just the controller.
It was just a, basically, you could theoretically press these buttons yourself with the controller.
Okay.
But they were using a computer that pressed them very fast.
Okay.
Now, what they did, and let me make sure I say it all right, they performed a series of inventory switches.
In Pokemon?
In Pokemon.
Okay. Like swapping two items in a list?
Swapping two items from the list, moving them around, deleting some of them, doing these things. There is a glitch in Pokemon where if you do the right thing, you can actually write values to memory, which is how you got Missing No back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen would be if you do this enough, you can get it to execute a particular mode or something that was... I don't know why this existed, but... The trick was having to hack. They also had to hack the Super Nintendo thing, which I don't understand how they did that. But there was the part with said in the Game Boy was by performing these switches, it caused a buffer overflow in the memory space, which meant you were writing random little, not random, but very, very specific bits because you had to use certain items that had a certain binary value that you could that equated to binary command values in the underlying. Assembly language that the Game Boy used.
Okay.
Okay. They managed to write a sequence of commands to the call stack, or one of the call stacks, and then execute them sequentially.
Okay.
Which were then wired up to map the input from the controller into its memory as more commands. So that was bootstrapping, is what they call that. And they managed to bootstrap in a series of button commands that loaded, basically, a Netflix app.
Okay.
Into the memory space of that Game Boy cartridge.
What? So they, like, reprogrammed the cartridge to have a Game Boy or a Netflix app?
To play Netflix at probably the most utterly terrible resolution you could imagine.
That's awesome. I would love to see that, though.
I can send you the video. I'll put it on there. It's not as impressive looking as you'd think, but it is absolutely one of those, like, who has time
for this?
So it
doesn't play Pokemon anymore. It can't.
Well, if you turn it off, turn it back on again, it can.
Oh, okay.
But you just basically wiped out all of the operating memory.
Huh.
And then it wasn't like straight Netflix. It was running through one of their other, a system they had that would like down compress it to the point where it would actually run on there.
Yeah, play it on there.
Because you're talking, it converted it to ASCII characters, basically, and it was awful. It was very hard to, you couldn't even tell what was going on, but... The whole point was not necessarily that it was Netflix, but that they could run arbitrary, random-ass, weird code on there. And that was really the goal.
So, there you go, folks. What the fuck did we start talking about that for? Twitch. There was a Twitch thing.
And that was the same thing. They also managed to hook Twitch up to it. Where it was just displaying the Twitch, like, running Twitch log. Or whatever they called it, the Twitch chat.
And that's what we're talking about, people doing... Using it as their hammer.
Well, and that was where it was. That's hacking, but it's also kind of cracking because you're violating a system and not making it work as it was intended.
That's fair.
But you're definitely hacking.
Yeah.
By everyone's definition. So the original point of all this was that I consider myself a hacker, in that I write shit code, and it works. But I've never compromised anyone's security, that wasn't under my control.
Yeah.
I've never, or that wasn't part of my expected job.
So as soon as someone starts using the stuff that you've done to maliciously, possibly maliciously, utilize and or gain and utilize people's information, then they've become a cracker.
They don't necessarily use the word cracker, but they were engaging in the act of cracking.
they have cracked.
Yeah.
And they will crack again.
Yes.
At moment's notice.
Ostensibly.
Well, there you go, folks. There's a...
That's a definitional change. But
there's your
That's why
intro.
Many software type people get fussy with the term hacker. Because it's like, no, I'm one of Dems.
I'm one of those guys.
Yeah.
And then everybody... So back to what we were originally talking about, which was the kitty... What is it? You said the kitty...
Script kitties.
Script kitty.
Were among the lowest echelons of your internet colloquial hacker types. Because they... The smart nerds were the ones that were creating very simple scripts that would be used to compromise security somewhere on known platforms. Like, nowadays it'd probably be WordPress, but back in the day it would be like Windows, whatever version, server versions that were available, SQL servers, things people knew how to get into, like consistently that they didn't know about patches for yet, right? And so those scripts would be floating around, which are basically just toolboxes to get through security to face websites or... steal information or whatever, but usually they were not powerful enough to do serious things like launch nuclear missiles or steal people's identity.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly just to like fuck up people's websites or, you know.
Those were the script kitties?
Those are the scripts okay. that script kitties got a hold of, because they would find them on hacker communities, the you know, malicious hacker type communities online, and, you know, abscond with them or get them for free, or in some cases pay for them. But a lot of those the scripts they were would be called exploits nowadays.
Exploits?
I think exploits would be the term that a lot of people use now, because it is a exploitation of a security hole. And they're valuable. They're extremely valuable, especially if they're what's called a day zero exploit, which means no one knows about it yet. Those are extremely powerful. And if you have a, if you can get a hold of one, like if you can get a hold of a Windows day zero rootkit exploit, that will be worth many, many dollars.
At least like seven?
Probably. I can't say exactly because I don't know, but
yeah.
It's worth a lot of money because that means you have a file, ostensibly a file, but it could be something more. It could be even something that could be executed remotely, but you have a thing which lets you run as an admin on any on a Windows workstation that's vulnerable.
Hmm.
So a day zero vulnerability is a very powerful thing to know about. I believe that I think Microsoft probably has a bounty system for it. I know a lot of places have them. If you can find one and prove them, like send them the proof of concept, they will quietly send you some money and tell you never to tell anyone about it.
Yeah.
And then they'll, you know, quietly release a patch later.
Yeah, okay.
Interesting. That's not a common practice, but that is known.
That sounds like a really cool premise for like a cool TV show or story. Like maybe in a more like, you know, like cyberpunk setting,
mm-hmm.
a code bounty hunter.
Yep.
Someone who goes out and hunts for day zero scripts.
Yep.
And like, you know, gets paid by the corporations to, that's a cool.
There is an industry. Oh, wow. I mean, it's not an industry, but there exists people who do that now. There is, a lot of places have, I'm trying to think of who has one right now. Google has one for their Chromebook. If you can find an exploit on a Chromebook that gains root level access to it, I think remotely. I don't think they have one for physically, but they'll give you like some ridiculous amount of money. I think it might be $10,000.
Okay. If you
can prove that there's a weakness in that system where you can get it to run arbitrary code as root, meaning as a, you know, super user, elevated privileges. So that's one of their, that's like a bounty that's out there for it. I don't know who else has those, but I know they exist. People are, you know, they it's an easy way to get a community to do it. Open source software is built on that premise, but not so much the money part, so much as the just find them kind of thing.
Okay, so where do we go now?
Well,
what do we start with? We started with you calling me a script kitty because I said that you had to escape our acronym.
I was saying you said you were an elite hacker or something like that because you were using computer nerd terms.
I don't know that I would ever say
and
that.
And then you said that you could basically best Bill Gates in a mental game of you know, code fighting.
I know I did say that though.
And then I said that's probably true. Let's go have ice cream,
dude. We're gonna go get ice cream. So
no, we already did.
Oh. I feel like I don't have ice cream.
Well, it's because you ate it. You made a big mess on it. You big messy fatty.
So,
Basically.
You big, messy, fatty.
Big, messy, fatty, fatty.
Oh, yeah, so there you go, everybody. There's a little bit of a, like, primer on, you know, the history of hacking. Yeah. That is a weird topic to get into, because, like, it's oddly specific, but there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
All of it was specifically to fill time when you remembered what you were supposed to talk about. Did you remember, or did you just dick around on your phone?
What are you talking about, remember what I was supposed to talk about?
You had a thing you were going to talk about. You were like, I've got to talk about this thing next time we do SidSock.
Yeah.
And you didn't write it down. Anything.
Well, we were going to talk... I wanted to kind of talk about shitty traffic violation stuff, but that's kind of a... Well, let's sit-sock it up. We're going from hacking to shitty to traffic violations.
The story for today is breaking the rules.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck those rules. So, Kendrick had an incident a while ago, but he's been talking a lot, so I'll
talk about your incident.
I'm going to talk about your incident and then talk about my incident.
Do whatever
and
you want.
Jump in if you want.
So jump an operating motor vehicle.
You can do whatever you want. This is America. It's rule breaking.
Did I jump?
Yeah. I jumped a thousand times.
I don't know if that's what I did.
So, one of Kendrick's old roommates' car was parked on the street, as you will, in front of your house. However.
Which is a residential way.
Yeah.
That is not marked with any lane markings whatsoever.
No. There's no lanes. It's got like that, like, you know, 10 mile an hour speed limit.
Implied
speed limit thing. It's in the ghetto. Just kidding, it's not the ghetto.
Quite the ghetto.
It's close, it's pretty
close. But you can see the ghetto from here.
You can. I can see the ghetto from here. And the thing was, so he got a ticket on his car.
For parking the wrong way.
Just to let that sink.
We've been parking every which way, askance and askew, for 5 years there and never had a ticket.
Okay. Well, that's one instance. Was it like a police department ticket?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a Lakewood police.
So the one
oh,
I
shit,
have
now they know I live in Lakewood.
Fuck. They
if
know
only
they know
there
they
weren't a Lakewood in every state.
You idiots! How do you think you can learn stuff about Kendrick from this podcast?
Especially because it's actually called Lunkwood.
Okay, gotcha. Good idea. It is totally called Lunkwood. Wink. Winky Lorkwood? Blinky.
Merkwood. We live in Merkwood.
We made a Merkwood reference on the podcast that came out today, which is irrelevant because people won't know which one I'm talking about.
No, but now they'll be able to extrapolate the amount of time it takes between when we release them and when we record them.
But then we'll just start recording one a day again and people will get confused. Shit, I just said it. This is a day of reveal, actually.
Oh my god. Just take your
the other
off.
One that happened.
And that's Kyle revealing his big tum-tum.
It's only big because I ate pizza today and I'm really bloated. The other one that happened was last night. Amy's car was parked in my parking lot for my apartment complex, and she got this ticket on it that said, you know, go fuck yourself, this is permanent parking only. And I'm like, who has the time, the kind of people, both of these incidents seem like they may have been incidences where someone was like, that car is not supposed to be this way.
Fuck that car.
Yeah, or this person is, like, doing this over and over again, so now it's fine to call the cops without talking to anybody about it. It's like,
and the cops just ticketed because they don't want to talk to anybody.
Exactly. Or the person who does the security at our apartment complex or whatever.
Here, right? I have to refer to you as a cop.
Yeah. All cops are cops. If you're one of the people that thinks that because a car is parking in front of their house and you are too scared to go interact with them, go fuck yourself.
I would like to also point out that this combines with the application of rules based purely on principle without any concept of
situation
expedience or circumstance. Because your parking lot wasn't full and wasn't over full. Now, if you're attempting to park in front of your house and there was a transgressor who parked across three lanes or three spots and had no... Actually, if they did that, that'd be terrible. If the spots were all full and you went down the line, we're like, half these people don't live here. I could see why you get this fussy.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are spots available, then you're just being a chode.
Yeah.
Specifically.
And I the idea is that both of these people were following, like, well, I don't know if Steve was technically following the law, the letter of the law, right?
He wasn't following, he was violating the letter of the law.
Yeah, so...
The letter of the law specifically refers to, essentially, parking the wrong way on motorways. Like, the idea, the way it's phrased is, like, say you're on this road we're on right now, Sheridan, and you're parked the wrong way on the lane there.
Yeah,
and you're like, you're actively... That's dangerous and crazy.
And there's markings on the street that are telling you,
what to do and where the fuck to go. Like,
I think the ultimate irony in that instance, the reason that I was so mad, is that when I left the house, and I believe it was after he got that ticket, but I don't make a habit of checking the windshields of all of the cars near me when I leave. Mm-hmm. I had to drive around a police officer who was parked in the middle of the street filling out paperwork.
For that ticket?
I don't know. Oh. But there was a cop in the middle of the street. Not on the side, not pulled over, in the middle. No lights, nothing. Just right in the middle. I had to drive around her, like, almost up on the curb of the left side to get around her to get by.
And I'll say the thing that frustrated me about Amy's ticket was, A, there was five other empty parking spots around her spot, so it's like, who's really getting angry about this? Like, you're not really looking at the situation at hand, you're just fucking being Bobby, go do your job, and fucking every single time you see a violation, you get paid or something. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, it's frustrating. And I'm already saying like again because I'm so frustrated. Like, the other thing that I disliked, like, I can say it there, because that was a part of a dislike. Is that the ticket they gave her stuck to her fucking window, and she had to peel it off with like WD-40. And I was like, why? What is the purpose of that?
Yeah.
The car is parked.
You could put it under the windshield wiper.
You could put it under the windshield wiper. You could put a fucking post-it note. Like, it's not going to fly away.
And if it does, I mean,
you're not charging money for it.
While the car was parked.
Thirdly, they said it was fucking permit parking only. And there's no permits on any of our cars. None of our cars have permits. So it's like you fundamentally misunderstand your job. You're not doing the thing that you...
They will be the first against the wall when the revolution comes.
That.
Revolutionary sitsock. we will begin the overthrowing of the government.
What Kendrick said.
Oh, wow. The choppers are already on us. That's astonishing. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's almost as quickly as when that time you said you were going to do something with a 9mm.
And then boom. Just bam. Sniper. Good thing I didn't suffer any brain damage.
Well, folks.
Good thing I didn't suffer any
brain damage. It's about 30 minutes into this podcast.
Good thing I didn't suffer any brain damage.
And Kendrick suffered some serious brain damage.
You shut your mouth. So we'll call it. Oh, God. Almost rear-ended a cowgirl. Reverse sexual joke.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, folks. That's the end of Sitsock today.
Hey, this is Kendrick.
And I'm Kyle.
This was a complete waste of everybody's time.
Good luck.